Good morning and welcome to part two of our Hacking and Defending SAP Applications webinar series, Clean Core, Dark Shadows, Attacks on BTP and ABAP Custom Code. My name is Leah, and before I hand things over to our presenters, I have some housekeeping notes. First, I want to point out the questions module within the ON24 platform. If you have questions, please enter them at any point during the presentation, and if time allows, we will answer whatever questions we can at the end of the discussion. You can always adjust the size of the media player on your end to make it bigger or smaller, depending on your preference. There will be a video component of this webinar, so you'll want to ensure the media player is large enough. And finally, please note that this webinar is being recorded and a link will be sent to you. With us today is JP Perez Echegoyen, Onapsis CTO. JP will present two high-stakes threat scenarios and how to prevent them based on real-world incidents. With that, JP, can you start us off?
Awesome. Thanks, Leah. And thank you, everyone, for joining. Really excited to be part of this episode two of Hacking and Defending SAP Applications. We have a lot of content and not a lot of time, so I'll try to be as concrete as possible, and we'll start navigating through the slides. So in terms of agenda, we'll do a quick intro on the docuseries, on the threat landscape. We'll talk about the challenges of extending today's SAP landscapes. Then we'll go through live attack demos, right? Real attack scenarios, and we'll navigate through what to do. We'll talk about protections, remediation, defense. We'll close with the Q&A, and hopefully that will give you a good perspective of the potential threats that custom applications face today. All right, so why are we doing this, right? Hacking and defending SAP applications, we are episode two now, and we started doing this because it's very, very important to start bridging the theory and the practical defenses of SAP systems. Nowadays, it's even more important because of the unparalleled threats that AI is posing to the overall IT security community. SAP security community is not separated or isolated from that. And it's important for defenders to be really empowered to defend at the speed of AI, right? So that's why it's important to see in real life what these type of threats look like and what they should be doing in terms of securing their SAP applications. Of course, these docuseries are powered by the Onapsis Research Labs, which is this team of professionals with extensive experience on understanding threats, risks, vulnerabilities affecting ERP applications. We have been reporting hundreds, over 1,000 already, vulnerabilities to ERP vendors. And yeah, this unparalleled experience is really a core aspect of this docuseries. So the objectives is really to empower the defenders to be able to respond to these type of threats on time and with the right speed that is required in today's completely new world, right? This AI world is shifting the timelines significantly. And before jumping into the content, a word or two on the Onapsis Research Labs, this team of professionals that is continuously monitoring on one side potential vulnerabilities, potential threats to SAP applications, on the other side monitoring what threat actors do, and really bringing all of that knowledge to the Onapsis platform, to our customers, so they can timely respond to vulnerabilities and threats affecting SAP applications. If you think about some of the most critical vulnerabilities affecting SAP in the history of SAP applications, most of them have been reported and discovered by the Onapsis Research Labs, which actually makes me very proud because this team is actively contributing to making SAP applications more secure, one vulnerability at a time. So think about the contribution that we have been doing over time. That's why I'm very proud. It has been significant, right? And of course, to our customers, giving them the ability to detect and manage these risks even ahead of time. That's also a key to our customer base. All right, let's go into today's topic, the challenge of extending today's SAP landscape. And that's why the title, right? Clean Core, Dark Clouds. The idea is there is a strategy pushed by SAP to Clean Core, which is a good one, right? We applaud all of the initiatives that SAP is taking. Historically, SAP has been embracing secure by default, the cloud, and many other initiatives that are a step forward in terms of security. The reality is that there's still a lot of risk that if customers think that by navigating through and embracing all of the latest technology, they're going to get rid of the vulnerabilities and risks, that's not the reality, right? So the reality is that customers still need to customize their applications. That's why many organizations are in RISE, are on the private cloud version of S/4, with the ability to customize, with the ability to extend. And still, organizations need to be able to match their business processes to the technology they use. And that's through extensions on BTP, extensions on ABAP. So the reality is that today, it's much more broad, the number of options that customers have to extend and customize. So that's why it's important to understand that this is still something we need to address, right? Clean Core is good. Let's say the objective of getting there is good. The reality is that organizations still have a lot of customizations from their history, still will continue to introduce customizations and extensions because of the need to extend and customize the core, let's say the standard delivered by SAP. And us as customers need to be able to properly secure that. So a little bit of history here. If you have been running SAP for several years, you're probably familiar with this, right? Extending or customizing SAP's applications, especially on-prem or even in private clouds, has been something like this, right? Of course, there are some flavors, but it's really SE38, SE80, Eclipse ADT, CDS, creating workbench requests or transport requests, transporting from development to QA, testing, doing the proper testing, and then moving into production. So that's been the history of extending and customizing SAP applications, with the majority of it being custom ABAP code delivered on top of the standard SAP code. Now, today, extending SAP can be all of what we saw, which actually is still a lot of that, customizations, extensions, extending through custom code on ABAP on top of the standard. But then we have many other options as well. We can extend on BTP the functionality that is provided, for example, in our S/4HANA, right? And we have different options with Fiori Elements, CAP backends, right, on Node.js, Java, Cloud Foundry supporting custom applications that integrate with our standard SAP ABAP-based core. We have many other alternatives to create and maintain custom code version the code, have those development pipelines. So all of the new way of development has been introduced in through SAP capabilities for extensions on BTP, some of that also for extending on ABAP, like ABAP Git and other capabilities. But the reality is that now extending applications is much more than just ABAP custom code, right? So, and you have some examples here of what it looks like still with classic ABAP, our Z code that everyone is so familiar with, or custom namespaces that you may have in your organization. But yeah, this is how it's growing and evolving. And we believe that also with AI, it's going to continue to evolve into even more options, more alternatives, more capabilities provided by SAP. And a little bit of also the on the who is behind this, right? Who are the key players here? Who are the personas, let's say? Well, involved in extending or customizing SAP, these are just some of them. We have the business users, right? For Fiori in-app extensibility, which may not have any knowledge on SAP technology, but yes, on how to extend through Fiori in-app extensibility, and really with the right knowledge on the business function. Then we have the classic ABAP developer on ABAP in the cloud. We have the CAP developers for BTP applications, Fiori as well for UI5, HTML5 applications. And then we have also the integration developers, right? For the Cloud Integration Suite, where you have developers creating those integrations between on-prem, cloud, private cloud, SaaS solutions, a little bit all over, right? So these are just some examples of who are the users behind extending and customizing SAP. We're going to be focusing on some of these, not all of them, because time doesn't allow, but the examples that we have will be touching on some of these personas. Just to wrap up a little bit on the introduction, securing the business is tougher than ever, right? So talk about AI, talk about the cloud, really. The environments that we have today in SAP customers are really hybrid environments with a little bit of everything, BTP, on-prem, private cloud, public cloud, SaaS solutions, all of it integrated, all of it with special needs of customizations and extensions that are being deployed on BTP, on custom code, on different places. So really, being able to secure that is challenging. It's challenging. It was challenging in the past, but it's becoming more and more difficult as the complexity of SAP technology evolves. So let's go into the live attack demos. We set up two specific demos highlighting two very different scenarios. The first scenario that we're going to see is really purely on ABAP. We're going to talk about potentially a malicious developer who's introducing potentially malicious code in ABAP custom code, right? Runs in an S/4HANA system, and we'll see a little bit of how it works in terms of how that is modified, introduced, how that's triggered. And the other scenario is more on the BTP side, right? So it's a BTP application extending and integrating with an S/4HANA system on-premise, connected through Cloud Connector. So there is here a little bit of OData exposed. There is a little bit of JavaScript, Node.js running on Cloud Foundry and exposed through BTP integrated, as I mentioned, through a specific destination going through the subcloud connector. All right, the first demo is portraying a well-intended developer, right? So this well-intended developer is someone creating an app on PTP. This developer has experience creating code on PTP, Node.js, some UI5, different elements of this, but this developer doesn't have a lot of background on security. So while he's well intended to serve the requirements that were provided to him, him or her, the reality is that unknowingly, this developer is introducing specific vulnerabilities that could expose the entire application. And we'll see that this could also expose the backend application as well. Right. This is what it looks like. The app itself is Fiori, like really the look and feel of other SAP applications. It's using SAP libraries, SAP technology to serve the UI as well. And this is what it looks like, both the application and the attack demo that we are going to see. The application is on BTP and Cloud Foundry. The attacker is going to log in into the application. He's going to see the different vulnerabilities. He's going to be able to see some of those weaknesses and potentially exploit those weaknesses, ultimately connecting into the backend system. For ease or simplicity, we are connecting directly to the backend system. And now you could tell me, okay, but the original application is going through a cloud connector, so that's true. Potentially, it could be possible also to go through the cloud connector, but it adds some complexity. So we, for the sake of simplicity, we are doing this. Hey, compromising the BTP application, and then through that compromise, navigating to the backend system, which could be on-prem, and this user could be sitting in a network place that allows for both connections, right? All right, so let's go with the demo, and I'm gonna be explaining what you are seeing on your screen. So the user is connecting to the PTP app, right? So this user is accessing the specific link, authenticating to the system is Sean Brennan. This user has a user on the system, is navigating through different capabilities. There is a directory, as you may have in other places, an employee directory pulling data from the backend SAP, showing you the different colleagues of this person. But there's also a profile here, right? So the user is looking at information that of his own profile, for example, the compensation, also employment data, the bio. So now the user sees that, hey, if I modify this parameter, what's happening? Okay, so modifying the specific parameter provided by the application, this user is now able to see compensation from other users, which he absolutely should not. For example, the CEO compensation, right? In this case, looking at his personal data as well, that wasn't available through the employee directory. Now, this user detected that there is a possibility to modify the bio if you're able to see the profile. Now, deploying a specific payload on the bio, specific bio, the user can now change the behavior of the application because it's a cross-site scripting vulnerability, right? Now this information could be exfiltrated through this cross-site scripting that is permanent and is stored. So anyone looking at that profile, so he could change for all of the different profiles and could compromise the specific the session of those target users with a stored cross-site scripting. Now, that's one attack that the attacker could perform. This other attack, he realized that there's this export payslip. So you could export the information of your salary, like the deductions and all of that information. So exporting that could yield some potential insights, right? So the user is exporting his own payslip. Sam Brennan is actually looking at his payslip. Okay, this is the salary, net pay, all of that. But he also realized that in the same functionality, he could introduce other characters, right? That could yield another vulnerability. And this is a common injection vulnerability. The common injection could be abused to exfiltrate internal information of the of those BTP services and use that to actually abuse of one of the BTP services. This is a client ID, client secret for a specific service that is the destination service. Now, with that information, this attacker could now exfiltrate credentials that are stored on that destination service. And he's actually, he has a Python script for doing that. And voila. So now the information of a specific destination is provided to this malicious attacker, right? So now this information could be used to go back to that backend system and connect to it and access information that could be available to that specific user, which is a technical user used to bridge between the BTP and the backend system. In this case, it really depends on the authorizations that are provided to this user, but we'll see once the user is able to connect, which the user was able to connect and is providing those credentials. Of course, a secure credential, secure password configured there, very strong. But through the abuse of this service, it was possible to exfiltrate that credential. Now the attacker is logging into the system, and now it's all up to the credentials of that user, right? So now it's accessing BP transaction, but it could be other transactions like SE16 to navigate business tables. In this case, we are just looking at user CO2, but this could potentially be anyone on the system, right? Any table that is authorized to be seen. And then let's continue with the session. Hopefully you can go back to the slides. So what happened here? Sam Brennan, junior security analyst, this user was able to connect to BTP, then access the different functionalities that are legitimately available to this user, but then through different vulnerabilities, this user was able to see compensation for other users, information potentially for other users, attack through cross-site scripting, other profiles, also export his own payslip, but through abusing of that, this user could exploit a common injection vulnerability, exfiltrating information of the destination service and internal secrets of the BTP destination service, exfiltrate those credentials and connect back to the backend system using leaked credentials. So this is a hypothetical scenario that is possible if there are vulnerabilities introduced and not really properly assessed in this BTP application. And some examples of some of these vulnerabilities, I mentioned cross-site scripting. There was also anonymous access to an exposed API that is also possible depending on how the system is configured, OS command injection. So here you have the example of OnAppSys Control identifying some of those vulnerabilities and highlighting the exact code and how it should be fixed. So this is the other part of this. We'll see some demos of how to address these vulnerabilities, but these examples highlight some of the vulnerabilities identified by Onapsis control. Okay, now a different perspective, right? On the first one, we saw completely legitimate developer that was well-intended but introduced vulnerabilities on the system without unknowingly, right? So the second scenario is a developer that has the intent, the malicious intent to compromise the system. He has some level of privileges, but this attacker wants to ensure that potentially something malicious can happen, or some elevated access can happen on production, for example. All right, this scenario is different. We are now in the world of traditional ABAP code, right? So this is a report, Zeed vendor master review. Completely valid report requested by AP back office users who need to run it before month end, analyzing potentially duplicated block vendors, missing tax IDs, all coming from table LFA1. The requirements for executing this report are valid. You can execute it through transaction code Zeed VMR or SE38 with executing the program name. There is a specific role for executing this that only grants a very limited number of authorizations, LFL, LFA1, GRP, S program, SD code, nothing high privileged or really critical beyond what needs to be provided. And this is the diagram, right? So the end user, which we're gonna see, uses this report legitimately, nothing out of the ordinary, but then we'll see how a developer modifies this report. This report ends up going all the way to production and potentially abused by the developer with access to it, and we'll see the impact of that. All right, demo two. Okay, there we go. We're back on track. We have the video showing this is basically the scenario where we have ABAP code. Someone is Mary Rogers, is an AP user who periodically runs this report. It's a completely legit report that was requested to the ABAP development team with the right specific requirements, right? So the report fulfills all of those requirements, and then this report is periodically executed, everything normal, nothing out of the ordinary. But there is another user that is the developer that is connecting to the system and has privileges to develop, right? So in this case, we have the developer that is not authorized to do any, like, execute transaction BP or SU01. This developer has only developer rights in this system, which can modify code. Ultimately, this code will end up going to production. And we can see vendor master review. It's like why it was created, what it's doing. There is authorization checks in there. There is access to table LFA1 and doing some filtering and presentation to the user. It's a very simple report, right? But this developer has a very extensive knowledge of ABAP, so he has a specific code, ABAP code, that can be added to the end of the report to completely alter the behavior of this report. So in this case, we see it's adding some OK codes, some specific processing depending on the OK code that we're providing, and it's somehow working with USRBF2. That's a table that is basically the user buffer table, right? So you don't need to understand exactly what it is, but you'll see the impact. So this is basically tampering with the session of the user. So the developer executed the code, and when with this new code executing X-axis, it's just a name, could be anything. Additional authorizations were added to the user buffer. Now, this user that wasn't able to access SU01 is now able to access it. But interestingly enough, if we look at his roles, we see that he has developer roles. He has the role to execute this specific report, but nothing else. Shouldn't be able to access SU01, shouldn't be able to access transaction BP, for example. All of those things shouldn't be authorized. And now what we are seeing is report RS USR002, which is part of SUIM, what an auditor would use. And if we look at the user profiles, nothing out of the ordinary, right? So all of the authorizations that are granted through the roles that this user legitimately has. However, we just saw that he executed SU01. So there is something else there, and that something else is because in the user buffer, he has all authorizations. So now the user is accessing transaction BP for maintaining business partners. So he's looking at the existing business partners, vendors in this case. And what these user is going to do is he's going to search for specific vendors. He's navigating through them so that there is a certain pattern. Okay, let's access this one. He's actually going to payment transactions. So that's a bank account that this vendor is actually being paid on. So never modified other than when the vendor was created. So now accessing that, modifying the bank account, potentially the bank key or other details, he's putting his own bank account. And now, if, of course, in the history, now we see the other change, right? So this was actually modified in the master records. So this user, every time that the vendor is paid, this user is going to get that payment, right? And now the last part is this user executed another OK code, which cleaned the user buffer from what was added before. So now the user doesn't have any more privileges to access SU01 or BP or any other transaction to that point, right? So what it shows is that for a small period of time, completely untraceably, this user got high privileges. So now going back to the slides, what happened was that this malicious developer got SAP all could access any business data. As I mentioned to you, logged into S/4HANA, ran that specific modified report or program, and then access the specific OK code, and then after that, anything could happen. Completely untraceably from a permissions perspective, from an audit perspective. The backdoor is really an OK code calling specific code that is inserting into the user buffer. So this is very technical from the ABAP side, but that's how it was technically possible, right? The reality is that when you have access to modify ABAP code, anything can happen. This is just one example. This developer could have hidden the code in many different ways, to avoid being detected as malicious, right, to the eyes of potentially a reviewer, right? Could be doing different, applying different techniques to make it really not being detected. That's why it's important to have automation at the detection level, so these type of things can be properly identified. And this is an example of control identifying some of the issues that this this report had. And if you think about it, this was just one report with many different vulnerabilities in it. Now, if you extrapolate this to potentially many, many functionality, many reports, many transactions, function modules, BAPIs, the different elements that you could be creating and maintaining over time, that's a significant, potentially, a significantly large attack surface, right? All right, so what, right? So how should we go about it? How can we address this? All right, that's where we kick in, right? There's many ways you could prevent this from happening. You can automate security and compliance testing. You can correct errors while typing, while this is actually being created. You can prevent vulnerabilities and on development phase rather than on production. Once this code is in production, you can train developers to secure develop, right, to introduce secure code. You can ensure compliance with strict regulations. And of course, all of this saving time and money while improving quality and security. How is our product on Apsys Control, which performs all of the things that, or helps achieving all of the things that I mentioned before, integrating into your development processes, into your development line, pipelines, also able to assess production code. And I have some demos for this very quickly to show you what it looks like in reality when you need to address securing custom code. So in this case, what we are seeing is basically the vulnerable report, part of a specific transport request. This was when the developer created this and was transported into PA and ultimately transported into production. What you are seeing that there is the transport being stopped by control, saying, no, this has vulnerabilities that you need to address. And that's how you prevent malicious or ill-intended developers from introducing vulnerabilities, which is not the majority of the cases, right? But we know that that's possible and that there are examples of where that happened. So preventing that, someone introducing a vulnerability on purpose, that's through the change management process with control being able to assist you there. Now, the second demo that I wanted to highlight here is on the BTP side, right? You may be using Business Application Studio. You may be creating different components, JavaScript, different elements of your BTP applications. While doing that, you can use control to identify specific vulnerabilities. This is a cross-site scripting vulnerability, that is introduced in one of the JavaScript elements. And you can see that while you're typing, the results are changing, right? From one vulnerability to two vulnerabilities. And then if you remove that, comment that out again, that becomes zero again, right? So that's how real time these controls are when you are using Business Application Studio or any development environment. Control supports most of the widely used development environments to develop on BTP, but also on ABAP code as well. There you have information about the vulnerability, how to solve it, the risk and all of that is part of control when you are right there at the hands of the developers. The other element, and just to close the loop, is how this integrates into the Onapsis platform as well. I showed you how control product integrates into your transport management system at the hands of your developers when they are creating code. You can also assess repositories. You can assess productive environments. You can assess your entire code base with the Onapsis platform as well as part of those capabilities of the control product line, right? So it could be a Git repository, it could be an ABAP asset, all of that, UI5, ABAP, everything is possible through really integrating the visibility on existing vulnerabilities through the Onapsis platform. So that was just to really close the loop on, okay, if I have the Onapsis platform and control, how do I look that all on the same place? Well, that's one part of how you have the right level of visibility in your into your existing potential vulnerabilities in your code, right? This is the UI that for all of you that are OP users are used to and have been using for the vulnerabilities in code, kernel, in configurations, on integrations, authorizations, all of the other elements. And yeah, that's just the last demo that I had prepared for you. Just going back to the slides and wrapping up because we are running out of time. This is the objective of control is really giving you the ability to make all of the developers able to develop secure code, right? Develop code that is basically compliant with all of your policies that you define and basically blocking any type of potentially vulnerable code at the right quality gate, right? In QA, or even at the right, at the hands of your developers, right? At the IDE, in Business Application Studio, using Eclipse, using any type of development environment you use. And with that, we have some time for questions. So back to you, Leah.
Oh, great. Thank you so much, JP. This is awesome. I think people are really going to appreciate this, and the videos were really helpful to just to see all of this in action. So we did have a lot of questions that came in, but I think we're pretty close to time, so I may just ask you one of them. So here goes. This is question the final question, or the first and final question. Our SAP footprint is 20 years old, and we have millions of lines of custom ABAP code at rest in our systems. If we run an automated scan of all of that legacy code, we're terrified of getting hit with thousands of false positives we don't have the resources to fix. How do we prioritize what actually matters?
Yeah, that's a great question and not an easy problem to solve, right? So if you're sitting on a ton of potentially vulnerable custom code, there's risk there, right? So that custom code, in the past, we have seen many incidents driven by situations like that, right? Insecure reports, insecure code that can be used from a malicious perspective. It's all about prioritizing, right? So first is being able to have the right level of visibility and being able to prioritize those critical issues first and foremost, because that's right there a compliance violation for many of the major compliance mandates. Then it's about stop the bleeding, right? So make sure you don't introduce additional vulnerabilities. So, right, put these type of controls at the hands of your developers so you stop any additional vulnerabilities to be introduced. And then prioritizing what you have with the right level of help for prioritizing that, right? It's not the same if you have a missing authorization at a specific code than if you have a common injection flow available to many users in a code that is available to many users. So that's the type of prioritization that you need to make. And it's a process, right? Security is not a one and done. It's really a process. So you mitigate the introduction of additional risks. You analyze the exposure you have. You prioritize the most critical risks. And then you introduce potentially automated fix, right? So there's other capabilities that allow you to close some of those risks without the need to involve significant manual effort, right? With a lot of automation that's possible today. So as you see, it looks like a simple question, but it has many, many caveats, and it's not an easy problem to solve. But the good part is that there are solutions for those elements, right?
Great. Thank you so much, JP, for answering that question. And we are slightly over time, so I'm just going to wrap things up here. For any other questions in the chat, we'll be reaching out to you individually to get those answered. Just a brief reminder to everyone listening that this session has been recorded, and the link to the recording will be emailed to you. With that, thanks again to JP for providing valuable insights into how you can eliminate vulnerable and malicious code across the BTP and ABAP spectrum. Thanks so much, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you all.